Fast hands, looking ahead, swiftly establishing algorithms and determining groups. These are the qualities that describe a speedcuber. My passion is speedcubing. This is the sport of solving Rubik's Cube efficiently and quickly. My journey started at the beginning of 5th grade when I found a video that was posted by J-Perm. He's a YouTuber that solves Rubik's Cubes and teaches tutorials. After that video, I got really curious, so I decided to go into the attic and find the old cube that had gathered dust. I took it downstairs and decided to start learning it. I looked up a tutorial on Google and found one on the Rubik's website. In an hour, I could solve the Rubik's Cube and all the algorithms were memorized. Although this may sound enough, I wanted more. I wanted to become faster. I spent the next 2 months becoming faster until I could finally solve the cube under 45 seconds. I took that skill and moved it on to more cubes, like the Anbian series and others like the Pyramid and Dodecahedron Cube. With this, I continued becoming faster as I expanded my knowledge and learned different algorithms and methods. According to ThoughtCo, a man from Budapest, Hungary, who goes by the name Erno Rubik, was teaching his class about geometry. He designed puzzles to make his students understand the concept better. He said, "How could the sections individually turn without them falling apart?" So with that in his mind, he created the Rubik's Cube. He never had the intention of creating a world-famous puzzle, but we'll see that's not the case. The Rubik's Cube he made was composed of edges, corners, and centerpieces. He put different colored adhesive stickers on all of the sides. Then he realized how hard it was to realign and match up the pieces to their original shape. 2 years later, the patent was approved and the toys were publicly available. Every kid wanted one and it became a staple toy in the 80s. Later, on October 18, 2004, WCA, or the World Cubing Association, was created. WCA hosted different competitions all around the world. Companies like GAN, Qi, Moyu, Volk, and Shengxiao made their original Rubik's Cube faster and more reliable. After a while, these companies and many others created different cubes. These cubes included the 2x2, 4x4, all the way up to the 10x10. These N-by-N cubes are not the only ones that were mass-produced. Other different cubes like the Diagonal Turning Cube, Pyramid Cube, Dodecahedron Cube, and Mirror Cube, these were also mass-produced. And these are just a short list. Many of these cubes are in the WCA competition. These cubes are competed to see who is the fastest. Also, to add on to this, there are different types of competition events, such as Blindfolded, FMC, or the Fused Moves Challenge, solving with one hand or solving with feet. All of this wouldn't have happened if Erno Rubik had not helped his students. Just like any person thinks, yes, solving a Rubik's Cube does require math. This is very crucial when determining the fastest and fewest moves required for a solution. When you're solving a Rubik's Cube, you get a 15-second inspection. This is where you get to look at the cube where you actually begin solving it. In this time period, math is a very crucial part to determine a good solve. According to Mathematics Plus Berkeley, the section of math that is required to solve a cube is called group theory from the branch of abstract algebra. A cube can be solved by two different ideas from group theory. These two ideas are commutators and conjugation. If x and y are two moves on the Rubik's Cube, the commutator is the move xyx minus 1, y minus 1. This is where x and y are the turns of the cube. You can use commutators when flipping two edge pieces. This is helpful when solving blindfolding. Just like this, there is another algorithm for flipping the corners as well. An example is if x flips two edges, then zxz minus 2 flips two usually different edges. This can be used for many things, such as cycling three edges on the top layer without affecting the rest of the cube. This can also be really handy when solving the fewest moves. Talking about solving the Rubik's Cube in the fewest moves, according to NumberFile, there's a God's number for the fewest amount of moves it takes to solve a cube. This God's number is 20. Any permutation from the 43 quintillion can be solved in 20 moves or less. This is called God's number because no human with perfect knowledge would be able to accomplish such task. Only God is capable of this. That is until we invented supercomputers, of course. There are many cubers in the world. My personal favorites are Felix Zemdegs and Max Park. Both of these cubers have set records worldwide. Max Park is a speedcuber that has autism. His autism has not stopped him from getting sponsored and winning competitions. When he was 10 years old, he won a competition that had contestants who had graduated college. Felix Zemdegs has always been my favorite speedcuber. I had just started speedcubing when he broke the world record. At that time, his raw speed had amazed me and I wanted to become faster. He's one of my core inspirations. You can definitely make a career out of Rubik's Cubes. According to The Guardian, you have to get fast times to even get recognized by the world, maybe even attend a few competitions once in a while. Many people create YouTube channels at this point. Patreon and sponsors can create enough money to sustain a good and stable career. If you're still not satisfied, you can create a new cube. People like Yusheng and Vault and many others created their own cube. They invested and now many people are buying their cube. Now it's an even more profitable career. Felix Zemdegs and Max Park are not the only two speedcubers that put a lot of hard work and dedication into becoming faster. Anybody can become a speedcuber. Even you can.